something outside.
What is that?
Radio.
Well, good Sunday evening, Monster X Radio listeners. This is Gunnar Monson, your host of Monster X Radio and the founder of the Sasquatch Coffee Company. You can check out Sasquatch Coffee at www.squatchcoffee.com. You can also check out the new Monster X Radio website at www.monsterxradio.com. We'll be putting up all things that relate to Monster X Radio, including our soon-to-be-coming Monster X newsletter. With me today is my good friend and fellow Bigfoot researcher, Shane Hardcore Corson. Shane, how are you today?
Doing well, Gunnar. Doing well. Glad to be here. And I'm kind of jealous because I know you're up near Mount Hood, an area that I hold dearly.
Yeah, well, that's we went up did the cosmic inner tubing last night at the meadows there, and it was a lot of fun. And of course, I was thinking about your encounter and stuff there, being in that neck of the woods. So didn't see any Bigfoot on the right, you know, always got my eyes peeled, but no Bigfoots crossed the road on our trip last night. So I understand that you were out investigating a sighting in our research area. Go ahead.
Yeah, indeed. I drove down from Washington out to the coast, out to Tillamook Forest, and interviewed along with myself. I had Cindy Cadell there and Tom Rodhead out of Montana, a good friend of ours. Cindy Cadell and I went out and spoke with an individual who had a sighting back in 2013 in the Tillamook Forest while cutting wood. He was out, had his chainsaw, was out chopping wood, and had his little chihuahua with him, and he had a little Toyota pickup, and was kind of getting ready to start loading the wood up, put his chainsaw.
Whoop, are you still there? I think we might have lost Shane. We'll wait for Shane to come back and talk a little bit about our guest today is Kevin Malik. And Kevin is a paranormal investigator, and he also looks into pretty much everything that's unexplained, and including the subject of Bigfoot. And he actually has had
Men in
a
Black
sighting. There you are.
Men in Black. I
had lost
you. I just thought to get to the good part of the story, and I got cut out.
I bet. I'm glad you weren't abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Well, I'll continue on real quick before we get our guests on here. And sorry about that blog talk. This guy was, he had been chopping wood and had his chainsaw put on the tailgate. Had his chihuahua with him, and his chihuahua was in the driver's seat looking out the window and growling and acting weird. And he walks over to control the dog and kind of figure out why his dog's acting weird. And, you know, it was peculiar to him. And he sees his dog looking out into the woods, and so he turns around. In about, 30 yards away, he sees this huge figure behind the tree, and it's peeking back and forth. He said it peeked out of the tree about three or four times, roughly. It was dark black, had long hair, he said. and it was looking at him. And he just kind of stood there staring at it for, he said it seemed like forever, but it was really, you know, mere seconds. And once this thing, he figures, had got seen and figured out it was, you know, and he had laid eyes on it. It typically went up the hill, turned around and went up the hill, a pretty steep hill, and disappeared. We went out there, and he estimated, I went back and kind of stood behind this tree. It had a snag next to it. So basically, the Sasquatch, if that's what it was behind a snag, but a really thick one next to an old growth tree. And this thing was, you know, roughly about 7.5 feet tall. We were guesstimating with me standing there, and I'm about 6 foot, and I had a notepad, and I had that above my head. And so he left the wood there, threw his chainsaw in, and drove off and got out of there. That was back in May of 2013, and we were the first people he had, other than a few friends, he had ever told. And the first time he'd been back there since 2013, and it was kind of neat to be there listening to him, because you'd see it coming back, and you could almost see the hair staying up on his arm and his neck. So it was interesting. It was an interesting report. He described the face as, he said, you know, this gentleman's about 48 years old, just on that dinner, because he was talking about the description of the face, and he said it looked kind of like Planet of the Apes, the original version. No hair around the face, kind of a, he said, not a real pointed nose, but not a real flat nose. And that was his general description, kind of long black hair, long arms, big body. He saw basically, before it came off the tree and went up the hill, what he was seeing originally was a head, a shoulder, basically like half the body coming, you know, behind this tree. He said its face had a look of puzzlement, like, you know, who is this guy? What is he doing here? Sort of like, you know, not aggressive, but just had a look like that. That was his impression. But he was very, please don't think I'm crazy. Please don't think I'm crazy. You know, and he said, you know, I still wonder if I really saw what I saw. You know, so he's nothing to gain from this. This was a report Cliff Berrickman passed down to Cindy and I. You know, Cliff Berrickman of Portland, and also Finding Bigfoot. He passed it on to us because he knows that this is one of the areas of interest for us. And he found the guy to be sincere and whatnot. And yeah, this guy really didn't know who to go to, so he went to Cliff and was very thankful that we had come out and would even give him the time of day. So found him to be very genuine and honest, and I do believe he saw something. And it was a good report from you know, an average guy just out there doing, you know, chopping some wood.
Well, and didn't you say he frequented that area quite a bit before that incident?
This will be his 18th year going out. I mean, he's been going out to the Potomac Forest, and he's been all over the forest out there. I mean, he does a lot of fishing, a lot of ATV riding. He does a lot of different stuff out there. So he's been going out there he said this will be his 18th year kind of being out in that area, and he had never seen anything, you know. And it was funny because we all know there's bears out there. I've seen loads of bear scat. I've seen bear impressions. I personally never seen a bear out there, but this guy said the same thing. He said, I know there's a bear out here. You know, he's an elk hunter. That's what he does. He's an elk hunter. And he's like, I've never seen a bear out here in this forest. You know, I know there's a bear out here. And I kind of threw that in there because he was just like, I just can't, you know, I can't believe these things are real. Why, you know, why isn't there a body? And the usual questions. And so I threw the bear question. I said, have you ever seen a bear out here? He's like, no. I said, well, think about something that's probably rarer than a bear. I mean, it's, you know, so, yeah, I mean, he kind of sat back and goes, well, that you make a good point. But still, he had lots of questions, but he knows what he saw without knowing what he saw. And, you know, he still questions himself because he just doesn't think it should be there. He couldn't figure out in his head. And like I said, the first time he'd been back in that area, since 2013, it was almost like he wanted someone to go back up there with him, that he did not want to go by himself, and he wanted to tell somebody. And we were fortunate because it is very close to our research area, it was very fortunate that we got a chance to talk with him, because I asked him, I said, hey, have you ever had anybody else out here have had a sighting? Do you know anybody else that's had a sighting out here? And he said, no, never even crossed my mind. He said, you know, he was out there camping, and when he got back to his camp, after leaving the wood behind, people had a question for me on what's going on, and he said he didn't really want to talk about it. He said, you don't want to know. And he really didn't tell anybody for quite a while. Great report and a great individual, and I hope to pick his brain a little bit more, because the area is pretty unique little area. It's a higher elevation, and this sign was in May, and there was sign of elk and everything in this area. It's just a really appealing area, and Gunner, you will have to see it.
I'm jumping at the bit now that I'm always fascinated in the area that. As our research area, does have quite a history of reports, but every once in a while, another one pops up and another one pops up, and it's interesting. Wondering if listening to the story, I'm assuming he was using a chainsaw to cut up wood, so that may have, raised curiosity of what he was doing in the area.
Right. Parts of the Potomac Forest have been logged, and this area has been a little bit logged, recently. But when he had a sign back in 2013, and had not been logged in many, many, many years, and he wasn't sure if this thing had, he had no idea how long it had been there, if it just showed up. So if it was there, he'd been watching him for quite a while, because he had cut up quite a bit of wood, and in fact, there was two pieces of wood there that he claimed that he had cut, and it was still there. And there was wood there that looked like a chainsaw had chopped it. And he claimed that it was his, and it made sense exactly how he laid out the story. If he was lying or trying to pull one over, it'd be. He really didn't get anything out of it. He looked shook up, and his story made a lot of sense, and it matched up. He's one of the more credible witnesses I've come across in a while. And, not just in the game, other than maybe, if the story is true and everything, maybe just an ear and a shoulder, someone to listen to.
Right. Yeah, some kind of validation. I mean, it's interesting is how many times people that in context especially, or just thought of it, as something that was just like a joke or just a legend, and all of a sudden steps out in front of you, and that's pretty. I can imagine that's pretty much of a shock to your system. I've heard that over and over from witnesses that I didn't know how to take it. I don't know what to do with the information, and they have a hard time sharing with people, because a lot of times people are concerned about the reaction of their friends and family, thinking that they're crazy or, that something's wrong with them. What have you been smoking? That kind of, so.
Right, exactly. And that sort of stuff happens time and time again. I mean, fortunately, you do get these people that do come forward every once in a while. I mean, this happened back in 2013, and here we are in 2017. It took that many years for him to actually, and he just reached out to Cliff via Cliff's website, and he wasn't looking to be on a show or anything. He just, he knew nothing about Bigfoot, and here you go.
Mm-hmm.
This is the show finding Bigfoot. I did not ask him actually if anything had, with him reaching out to Cliff, it had to do with the show on the internet and finding sites. I did not ask him. But I imagine that probably had something to do maybe with the show, and so kudos to that.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's cool that that he was able to find somebody that he could talk to and share the experience with wasn't going to judge him and think that he was nuts. So
right.
That's pretty common. So our guest today is Kevin Malik, and let's go ahead and bring him on.
I'll bring Kevin on. Kevin, here? Hello, Kevin,
yeah,
are you there?
Hey,
yeah,
Kevin.
Great.
Welcome to Monster X Radio.
Thanks for having me on.
You betcha. Well, Kevin, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Give us a background for the Monster X listeners.
Sure. I'm the founder of the Northern Wisconsin Paranormal Society. I'm a paranormal historian and a paranormal investigator. I'm also a ufologist with the UFO Wisconsin Research Team. I'm a writer for Supernatural Magazine, and I'm one of the hosts, along with my wife, Paraversal Universe, on the Inception Radio Network, Friday nights at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks for letting me plug that. We cover 8 categories of the unknown and unexplained here in northern Wisconsin. And, of course, cryptozoology is one of them. And my Bigfoot experience was actually the catalyst, which in turn started the gears for the society, so to speak. So that's interesting. We don't get a lot of Bigfoot reports. We get some, but I think the BFRO gets the bulk of them, I would say. Same thing with MUFON. The UFO reports, we don't get as many as we do, like, the ghosts and haunted places and stuff, but we do get some once in a while, you know. And anything we get, of course, the UFO Wisconsin Research Team works on. So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, so your sighting kind of catapulted you into this field, or, I mean, were you kind of interested in the paranormal cryptid world beforehand?
Well, growing up, my mother, both my parents, were very open-minded people. And so in my family, spirits are real, UFOs are real, Bigfoot's real. And it's all like anything unknown could be, okay? And my mother had this wonderful library on books of the unknown and unexplained. And so for me, I always was interested in that. Now, before my Bigfoot experience, I did have a couple UFO experiences. So I knew UFOs were real, but I hadn't experienced ghosts or Bigfoot, the other two major, the fields or whatever, genres.
Yeah.
So when the Bigfoot experience happened, and the fact that I had somebody with me who saw the same thing in daylight, I was able to say to myself, you know what? I now know UFOs are real. And now I know Bigfoot's real. Like, I don't have to wonder about this anymore. This just happened. Like, you know, there's more to this unexplained stuff. And what I did at that point was I thought, well, you know, I do have some knowledge and interest in the paranormal, and now I have dedication because I know these things are more real than I had thought previously. And so I went to join, I went to find a group I could join, and I couldn't find one. There was nothing up here. So that's when I decided, well, there needs to be one up here. And put in motion the Northern Wisconsin Paranormal Society Limited. Well, at the time, it was just, you know, it wasn't limited at the time. It was just Northern Wisconsin. Actually, we started out as the Northwoods Paranormal Resource Center, or the Northwoods Paranormal Paranormal Society, but we changed our name a couple years into it after we found out someone else had the same name. But
gotcha.
Anyway, yeah.
So but Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin's, I know that they do get a fair amount of Bigfoot reports, not as many as some places, but I know Wisconsin is known for, reports of Dogman. I mean, do you get reports of that, of that nature or anything like that?
Well, so not too often. When we very first started out, we had a guy from Harshaw. He had reported a wolf track the size of a dinner plate. And that's huge. I mean, that's impressive. And I'll tell you, I don't count this as a paranormal encounter per se, but I had an experience one morning. It was like 3 a.m, and it was on a long stretch between two towns, and it was really desolate. In fact, it was a bypass that I had just gone through, so there were no businesses built up, no housing. It was just, you know, a highway straight through wilderness. And right in front of me, across in front of the highway, was it was the size of a deer, but it had a wolf's head, and the head was really prominent. Like, I could really tell it was actually like a German Shepherd kind of head with the ears sticking up, but the body, it was huge. Now, it wasn't on twos, so, you know, I'm not going to call it dog man, but I will say it's bigger than any wolf that it was way bigger than any wolf that I knew was up here in Wisconsin. And I'm from Wisconsin. I'm raised in Wisconsin. So, you know, so if this thing would have stood up on two legs, I wouldn't have been surprised, needless to say. But yeah, I mean, that was huge. And so
was
that huge. What he had, I don't know. But still, I'm sorry. Any wolf the size of a small deer is impressive. I mean, like I said, the very first second I saw it, I thought a deer. And then I noticed the head and that it was walking or traversing differently than, you know, like the legs were moving slightly different than a deer would. More like a wolf would, you know. And I realized it was a wolf. And by then it had crossed the highway and was gone. And well, damn, that was a big wolf. So, but yeah, we have a lot of dogmen. I mean, dogmen, if you're in Wisconsin, you've heard of dogmen before. There's no doubt.
Right, right. You know, Linda Godfrey, you know, is well known
right.
And
right down,
the beast,
yeah, she's down,
the beast
right down
of Bray Road.
Yeah, and she's in the southern part of the state, and you know, she definitely probably gets the majority of the reports in the state as far as dogmen. I would definitely say she's the most prominent researcher on the phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, Kevin, can you describe? I'd like to get into your sighting. I know it was fairly brief, but can you describe, you know, the events leading up to what you saw, and then that can lead right into, you know, I mean, can you describe the time of day, the time of year, and then, you know, what you guys were doing exactly, as I believe there was two of you, and then, you know, get right into kind of what you saw.
Sure. I know you've read the report, so I'll be as extensive as possible. And if there's anything you guys wish I asked along the way, just let me know. So it was the middle of summer. It was the hottest day of the year, incidentally. I should say not incidentally. This may tie into this. I think it was 104 that day. It was as hot as it got. And it was a Saturday morning. It was about 10:30, and me and a buddy of mine, we had the windows down, the sunroof going, you know, shirts off. I think we were in Bermuda shorts. You know, it was just real hot already at that point, and we had some time to kill. We had like a half hour or whatever to kill, and he's like, you know, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, you know, right outside of Rylander, where we were at, I said, have you ever seen the world's tallest the world's tallest antenna structure? It was a cable antenna, goes up really long ways, like over 1,000 feet tall. The wires stretching from it go out for miles. It's in the Guinness Book of World Records because it's the TV tower for NBC for northern Wisconsin and the upper peninsula of Michigan. That's why it was so big. It needed to cover all that area. And so anyways, I'm like, have you ever seen this before? It's really cool. I mean, it's really big. And he's like, no. So I'm like, well, you know, why don't we go out there and check it out? And then by the time we get back, you know, we'll be ready. He's like, yeah, okay. So we drove out there, and we got to Starks, which is like maybe 15 minutes out of Rylander, no more than 20 minutes if you're driving slow. So we get there, and we check out the tower, and it's impressive and interesting. And our experience happened on the way back. And to know my buddy Mike, we're both in our, you know, early 20s when this happened. He had a red neon car, and you always zoom around in it, and you always drove fast, and I was always afraid that we were going to die driving with him. But anyway, so he was driving down the county road that connects the island to the Skulls, his county seat. And he came around a corner. It wasn't a sharp corner, but it was corner, you know, going, you know, doing 70 miles an hour, this corner. And there's a straight stretch after this corner, and we come around this corner, this bend in the road. I'll just call it a bend in the road. And here we see this person coming up on the shoulder, and he starts to cross the road. And my first thought is, this must be a tall, hunched over old man carrying 2 5-gallon buckets. And I see the buckets because they were swinging from side to side, like he was carrying 2 5-gallon buckets full of something. They were swinging as he was walking. And I nudge my buddy and go, hey, look, it's Bigfoot, you know, joking because it was walking like a Bigfoot. But by the time it had crossed the highway and had gone back down, up in the woods, in the foliage, where it disappeared, we could see that it wasn't old man carrying 2 5-gallon buckets. It was completely brown, paneling brown, and the 5-gallon buckets were its forearms swinging. The arms went almost all the way to the ground and across the highway in like 4 or 5 steps. Strides. It was striding. It was going somewhere. It had a purpose. It was you know, whoever, whatever, it was going somewhere. And it crossed in front of us, went in the woods and gone. And my buddy stops the car right where it crossed. I didn't even have to say anything to him. He just naturally stopped the car because what we saw was just so bizarre. And we look in the woods, and there's nothing moving around. Now, the undergrowth that comes up to these county roads in Wisconsin is it's not like walking in the center of the woods where there's no undergrowth because of the tall trees. Because there's sunlight, you can get to some of the smaller brush and stuff. So that's kind of mixed in, you know. And I kind of expected to see a trail or a driveway or something man-made and an old man carrying 2 5-gallon buckets. And then I could say to myself, oh, for a minute there, I thought it was a Bigfoot, you know. But no, there was nothing. There was nothing man-made. It was completely woods, and there was nothing rustling around. Even if it had been a person carrying something like that, they would be crashing through the foliage. They would not have been able to get far enough to where we couldn't see them anymore. Just gone. Like, and my thought was, it must have gone on all fours and dropped to the ground and was hiding because we're not seeing anything. It's just gone. And my buddy looks over at me and goes, do you want to go in there after it? And I'm like, are you crazy? Do you see how big it was? It will kill us, you know. So that was the encounter, you know. All the way home, we talked to each other about it, trying to, you know, what the hell did we just see? And we went through everything. It's like, well, it could be a bear. And we thought, well, no. Bears walk like Frankenstein when they walk. You know, I mean, their arms are out, and they're, this thing was striding. Its arms were swinging. And the arms, like I said, they went to almost the ground. We thought, okay, well, it wasn't a bear. I mean, we would have saw the bear. I mean, as fast as we came up on it and stopped the car, and okay. But we thought, well, it could be a hoax. And thought, man, it was so hot out. It was so hot out. We thought, the one day of the year, the one time, I just, you know, the odds on that were like, no, it wasn't a hoax. Somebody, I mean, we've all heard the stories about the guy that played Chewbacca, you know, in Star Wars, and how he would sweat profusely, and it was so horrible. And now we're talking about 104-degree heat, you know. And it was a sunny day. I mean, we got home, and we looked at a map, and we saw that the direction of whatever this was, which we call a Bigfoot. I mean, that's what it was walking like. That's what it looked like. That's what we saw, you know. It was going towards a source of water. In fact, it was headed right for the waterway that kind of runs parallel for part of it. There's like a stream that at one point it crosses the highway, and it kind of goes along until it winds out further on. But you could see that it was going for a water source. And, you know, my thought is that it must have been in distress, that it was in a place it normally went to Ben at that time. I think that it was so hot and so miserable that it left its area or wherever, you know, it was headed for a water source. I had to cool off. It was probably a life and death thing. We were around the corner, probably downwind the wrong way. It didn't smell us. It didn't hear us coming. I took a chance, normally when it went off, and bam, we come around the corner and we see it.
you know.
Where it went, I don't know. It could have went spread eagle on the ground, or it could have disappeared, it could have went invisible, could have walked in a portal. I don't know. All I know is that it was there when we saw us and gone when we got there, and it was the most bizarre thing. And we both saw it. And had I only seen it, I don't think we'd be having this conversation today.
Right.
But because someone
let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. So is that temperature 104? I mean, I'm well used to the heat. I used to work out in the desert, Mojave Desert. 104, yeah, and even in San Diego County, you got to 104. Thank God I'm not dealing with that anymore. But in Wisconsin, and forgive me because I don't know, but
almost unheard of.
Okay, is
right.
it rare?
I mean, we'll go years and years without 100 degree heat at all.
Okay.
I mean, it was
gotcha.
Hot. It was hot, and that was the whole thing, and that was the other part that in my being. Okay, because it's not like I'm just trying to convince everyone else that Bigfoot's out there. Okay? It's that I had an experience, and I got to be sure myself of what I saw, you know? And for me to rule out a hoax, I remember how hot it was, and I remember that day set the record that year. So I know that, like, for anybody to be playing any kind of hoax in that kind of heat, I don't see it. I don't see anyone taking that kind of risk or especially where it was and you know, I know Anthony Ward, and they picked the hottest day ever, you know, and,
right.
and they fooled the hell out of me and my buddy, you know?
I'm sorry. What year was this?
This was before Y2K. This had to be, I would say between, if you look at the Weather Almanac, between 1995 and 2000.
Okay. I was just wondering, the reason I'm asked is because, with it being that hot and with what you guys saw, I'm curious to find, maybe you've done this, maybe not, if there was a spike in sightings around that time or there was other sightings possibly in that area.
There's two other sightings. I wrote this article because I write for Supernatural Magazine, and the best possible stuff we can write about are the true stuff, the stuff that we know is true. And this happened to me, so I know this is true, okay? So I decided to come out with my experience on what happened, my Bigfoot sighting. And I just had a brain fart. Shit.
But you wrote for Supernatural Magazine.
I wrote part of those stories. Right. I'm trying to think of why I wrote that. Okay, so I wrote this story. I remember now where I'm going with this. Okay.
There we go.
So I wrote this story, and because I wrote this story, other stuff came out. And there were two other reports that came out. One person was I want to say Shel Dion's boyfriend, who had also had an experience in the same part of the state on County C between Starks and Rylander. The other person had, left a comment right on the site also stating that they had an experience. Now, there's potato fields out there, abandoned potato fields, and I could see that being a source of food. I don't know. But there's strange goings-ons out there. I mean, they call the area the Ginty Triangle. We're writing a book this year, and we are going to highlight that area of Starks because there are so many unusual stories that come out of that area, what we call the Ginty Lake Triangle area. Pretty much everything. It's the paranormal, the haunted stuff. There's demonic stuff. There's these crypto reports. So, you know, all within this, you know, few mile, you know, area. And it's just really interesting. So it's something we're going to document.
Awesome.
Now, keep in mind. Go ahead.
I'm curious about, back to your encounter, when... from what distance was your sighting? How close were you to the subject?
when we came up on it, if you take your arm out, and this is the best way I can do it to explain to everybody, stick your arm out and make like an inch sign with your thumb and your finger. That's how big it was when it started crossing the highway. Okay? It was like, I mean, not even an inch. I mean, it was, I don't know.
So as a it was at a bit of a distance.
No, it was. It was like probably the first quadrant of my index finger if I stick it out. Okay? So it comes up on the road and starts to cross, and we're going 70 miles an hour. I mean, he was cruising along, you know, and right when I nudged him and said, hey, look, it's Bigfoot, at that point he started to slow down because there's someone crossing the road, you don't want to hit him, you know.
Right.
If anything else, you know, and besides, it's just the whole experience of it is just bizarre.
You know, another interesting thing you mentioned about bear, you know, about it not being a bear, that I found interesting is that the fact that this past week I did do an interview with a person that had a sighting, and we, you know, as beginning of the show we were talking about bear, you know, when a bear walks upright, and they do occasionally, they do walk upright, not so much uphill as the gentleman that I interviewed just, you know, described, but they do walk upright, and it's kind of like, you know, if you put your fist down to your side on both, you know, your arms down to your side, put it yourself, you know, get a fist, then roll that fist towards your, you know, inside of your body, towards your, you know, your thighs. Bears, their shoulders, you know, I mean, they come into each other, so it's not this wide stance. They look like an old man walking. It's a funny thing to see. And so one of the things I look for, you know, for an eyewitness encounter when they see a supposed Sasquatch, will describe, you know, how it was walking, you know, its body. You know, they describe, you know, a barrel-chested, you know, huge entity and whatnot. You know, my ears perk up and I listen a little more and describe the walk. What you saw, you know, we claim this to have seen is nothing like that, right? And also, you know, can you describe, you did say stride. I'm sure you've
That's
seen the Patty
saying, like,
film, Patterson Gimlin film. How was the stride? I mean, how did it walk?
Okay, yeah, first of all, we don't have grizzly bears up here. We have black bears, and this wasn't black. Okay, I just want to point that out. This was brown. This was a light brown color. Second of all, yes, it was striding. Like, I know what you're talking about. I have a like page, Paracryptozoology, and on it, if you scroll down quite a ways, there's a video of what you're talking about, a bear walking upright. They hurt their arms or whatever, and they can do that, and dogs can do this too. I mean, and I think that some of the accounts that we do hear about, this is probably exactly what's going on, okay? And, I got to say, like, it would have made it a lot easier had it been a bear, or had we seen something even when we spent the car, you know? And, you know, it's just weird. But, yeah, it was striding. If you took 5-gallon buckets and filled them up with ice, and you started striding, walking, and you swing them buckets as you're walking, that's what I'm talking about when I said its arms were swinging from side to side as it was, the legs were taking long strides, okay? And it went, it came up on a shoulder, crossed the highway, went down the other shoulder into like a dip, and then it comes back up, okay? And the footage I see of walking bear is always on a flat surface. I don't know how they traverse stuff when they're injured or what they do. Maybe they can walk up, stuff like that. I do know that the videos I have seen, I'm not a cryptozoologist, but I'm versed in cryptozoology, you know, well enough to, I go out of my way to research this stuff. And the stuff I've seen from a bear is not the stride I saw. Like, someone was walking. This was a bipedal movement, totally all the way, with two arms. You know, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, bears don't, they don't have a stride when they're on two legs. Like I said, they look like old men, and they're not going to cross a road in three steps.
And when I said old man, when I said a tall, hunched over old man, I called it an old man because it was hunched over like the back, like the, you know, the problem would have felt was the shoulders, the strength of the shoulders, and then the head would have been more implanted into the shoulders, less of a neck than we have. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happened. Again, that was my hunch, that I was hunched over and it was big. That's the first thing. That, and then, like I said, and it must have been a hunched over old man swinging 2 5-gallon buckets. Which, of course, would have been ridiculous in 104-degree or 100. Okay, I, you know what? I haven't taken the year and looked at the almanac. So if you guys do that, great. Let me know what you find. I don't know exactly what year it was. I can call my buddy and find out. No one's ever asked
me
specific date on that. I've never had anyone, like, accuse me of faking the story or anything.
Kevin, let me get at you there. I'm not let me real quick, Kevin. I'm not accusing anything. That was a pure question, and I wasn't there to see what you saw, so I'm not questioning.
No, I just want to put that out there, because it's like, what year was it again, and how hot was it, and does it get that hot up there? It was hot. It was hot. Yeah, so I remember on Rylander 104, so whatever day that was. They do get them.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm not a Wisconsin boy, and that's why I was curious, because
it's not
awesome. I just know
we can go a year or two without it, so. Four up to 4 years probably without a 100-degree day.
Yeah. No, I've noticed here in the Pacific Northwest, I'm up here in Oregon, Washington area, I've noticed here in the Pacific Northwest, personally, on those hotter years or hotter months, especially when there's an extremity there, an abnormally hot year or month, that they some of the sightings, it does kind of peak a little bit, you know, and I kind of make sense that Sasquatch is out there looking for water. I don't know if there's a pattern there, but it does seem to peak a little bit more, you know, over some of the other just regular, usual weather days and weather years. So that's why I was asking that question, because I think it's an interesting question. It, you know, that's why I'm like, does Wisconsin get that hot usually? And you're like, no. Well, that makes sense to me. So.
And that's why it stuck out in my mind as being such a sincere thing. Had it been a 70-degree day, I can't sit here and tell you, I can't tell you that it wasn't a hoax. You see what I'm saying? I just felt like in this degree heat, whatever it was, just performed a miraculous feat in front of us, because they had some big brown suit on. It was 100 plus out for sure. Oh my God, it was hot. And it's crawling up, it's crawling, it's striding, it's walking across the highway in less steps than it would take the average person. It's going back down and then it's disappearing all within a few moments. Pretty impressive. I don't know. So anyways, that to me is like, you know what? Other people report them. I was surprised when Dave Tingle, that's who it is, when Dave told me his account, because I think he had read my story, and then we were talking back and forth. He said, you know, my experience, he said, happened in the same area as your did. You know, and I know, that to me, I was like, holy wow, now this is significant. And then hearing that someone else had also reported a Bigfoot sighting out in the Starks area by the abandoned potato fields. And the side of Starks we were on, which is before you get in Starks and Rylander, is where some of these abandoned potato fields are. And I just think that I don't know if that's the source of it, but, you know, it's you're in the Northwoods, but yet there's a couple spots that are kind of wide open because they used to be fields at one time. They're not totally grown over yet. So it makes sense that people might actually see these Bigfoot there. It's just a thought, you know.
Well, that's interesting because you know, they got to be spend a lot of their waking hours looking for food, sources of food. So if there's easy pickings, that makes sense.
They're probably carnivores, but they probably eat. You know, I think they're. I would assume they eat both. You know, even bears eat both, humans eat both, gorillas eat both, not Bigfoot.
And if the weather is that hot and you're a large animal covered in hair, that you're going to need to be fairly close to a water source most of the time when it's that hot, particularly.
Well, I just felt it was so hot that it probably needed water. I mean, I can't imagine. See, and I tell you guys, I don't know where you guys stand on this, and I being that I'm a paranormal historian and I do investigate other fields and inverse in other fields. I question if there's a paranormal element or supernatural element to some of these. Now, suggesting that Bigfoot needs water and heat like that kind of goes against the idea that it can morph or portal into somewhere, some other dimension or something where it may be safe. I think if there's any paranormal stuff going on, it's more likely, that's a tough call. It's a tough call. There are some really bizarre reports out there. And like even with my report, everything is normal except for where did it go when we came up on it. But then again, a skeptic could say, you know what, it could have went on all fours, freaked out.
Right. That to me did not seem that unusual, because I've seen deer cross the road and then I look down where they went and there's no sign of them. So I think if an animal wants to disappear from humans, it's not that hard for them to do. When you stop the car, I have another question. When you guys stopped the car, did you get out and look around?
No.
Or okay, yeah.
No,
it didn't sound like you were really excited about the prospect of having a face to face encounter with what you saw.
Well, had it happened today, I would have got out of the bar, because you know at the time I wasn't a paranormal investigator. You know, I believe that stuff like that could be possible. You know, like I said, I was brought up with an open mind. But I, today, of course, geez, I think I would have. But then again, today I carried pepper spray with me. So, time, we weren't prepared for anything like that. And I think we both realized that we weren't dealing with just some human, that it was some kind of something more that could have really messed us up. And no, let's just get out of here. We don't even know if this thing's going to come back and pull us out of the car for crying out loud. You know,
right.
Just go. We didn't have that specific. You know, we both looked in on there. He looked over at me and says, you want to go in after? I said, are you kidding? It will kill us. You see how big it was. And we
right. Any other description? I mean, obviously, you saw this from a distance. It was big. It was crossing the road fast. It didn't fit into anything you knew of at the time, apparently, obviously. And, I mean, was there a uniform color to this thing? I mean, that's got a question kind of jump out at me. I'm sure if you're viewing this thing, your mind's trying to, you know, figure out what this is. It one color?
When my eyes first came on it, the very first thing I noticed was a silhouette. And that's probably why my brain said, well, Kevin, this must be a tall, hunched over old man swinging 2 5-gallon buckets. What else could it be? But then as your eyes focus and you look and you're paying attention, that's when I looked at the color and I could see it was all brown, like paneling, like the color of an average door, a wooden door. You know what I'm saying? Like Chewbacca color. That was the color of it. And that's how it was all the way until it was gone. There was no shirt was different than the pants. It was just all the same color. And it was, like I said, it was bright daylight, it was sunny out, it was warm, it was hot. You could see, you know, it wasn't like a nighttime sighting. It was a daytime sighting and we both saw what we saw. And it's been a long time since I asked my buddy what color it was, but I think he would say the same thing. I did tell him when I wrote that article, he moved on to Oregon or Utah. And I wrote him, I said, hey man, is it okay if I write about our article or our story? I won't, you know, put your name in it because I don't want you to be, you know, all of a sudden the link goes viral or something and, you know, the guy's getting made fun of at work. But, because you got to be careful about stuff like that. You really do. We're talking about people's lives too, you know. But anyways, yeah, and he's like, yeah, no problem. Yeah, go ahead. So I, you know, wrote the article almost a couple of years ago now. And I sent him a copy of it. Otherwise, I see him on Facebook once in a while, and that's about it. He doesn't investigate or anything. He's just an average, you know, just average Joe, just like anyone else.
The fast were you guys traveling, do you think? I mean, you know, I know it's back
well,
in
like I
the,
said,
the
was,
90s.
He drove fast. Well, no, he drove fast. County C is mostly straight, but it's county road. It's a northern Wisconsin county road. It's got bends and turns, and My memory
yeah.
was specifically that when we came around the corner, and I remember we was cruising, and I think every time I ever got in a car with my buddy, I would always say, like, dude, you drive too fast, you know, or I remember times being with him where I was going to die. Because, you know, stupid young, you know,
yeah,
you're in high school or young 20s or whatever, driving around, you know how it is. But that day he was driving, he was just, you know, driving back to Rylander, going faster than he should have been. You know, he's not going to do 55. Mike would never do that. So he was probably going about 70 miles an hour. And it wasn't the kind of corner that you had to slow up. If you drive from Starks to Rylander, there's no corner that you have to slow up to give you an idea. So it was a bend in the road. It's more accurate than a corner. But it was a bend in the road.
Mm.
And as we came around the bend, as the car started straightening out, and as the peripheral, or not peripheral, the horizon or the able to see right in front of you, I should say. At that point,
gotcha.
When the trees break from the corner and stuff, and you can see, that's when it was coming up on the shoulder and just started to cross the road.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys were kind of hauling butt, and this thing, you know,
we were.
Real quickly went across the road, and then, like I said, disappeared. Can you describe the area a little bit? Can you paint a picture in our head? I'm trying to figure out in my head what this area looks like. You're coming around, you know, these corners. You're driving fast. This thing across the road. This area, like other mountains, is it flat? You know, how tall is the grass? Are there trees? What's going on?
Well, let's see. It was, you have the highway itself, County Highway. I'm sure they're all the same in most states. They're not as wide as a state highway. The shoulder is almost non-existent in spots. I mean, there's some shoulder. Back then, it was the highway's actually been repaved since then, so it's a little the shoulders are a little better and stuff. You have when I say shoulder, I mean like a maintained gravel kind of something like you see on a state highway. Again, so we're just talking about just a regular county highway, trees on both sides, forest on both sides. With right along where the road is, you get some of the smaller undergrowth that happens, you know, raspberry
mm-hmm.
bushes to brushes to whatever, you know. When you walk in for enough, that goes away because then the canopy takes over and blocks out the sunlight. But because of the highway, there's sunlight that comes in and the understuff grows. And that's what I was saying. Like when we stopped the car out, someone would have to maneuver through all that shit. Or, I'm sorry, all that stuff. You know,
right?
Like, so whoever, whatever it was, I'd expect to see trees and brushes moving around, and you know, like, oh, there it is, you know, dumb spots across the highway, right? If you're a person, anyways, but I guess not if you're a Bigfoot who needs water.
And you know, it's cool because I mean, this thing, you know, if indeed was an old man carrying 5 gallon buckets, you know, across the highway, you guys would have came up on him quickly and well, there he is. That was weird, but guess
well, not
what?
Only that,
oh,
I
man.
Think we're good people. We're good Samaritans. We would have been like, you know, hey, sir, do you need help? What are you doing? You know, it's hot out. Like, oh, my Lord. You know, I think the odds of it being an old hunch of an old man is more unlikely because the old man wouldn't have spread eagle and you would have seen his bucket sitting there.
Maybe it was Chuck Norris, though. If there's Chuck Norris out there, it might have happened. It was Chuck Norris.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. no, but no, it's incredible because, I mean, I don't, you know, this one, I know a lot of states. I know the terrain really well. Wisconsin, I don't. And that's why I always ask, you know, when someone has an encounter in Wisconsin, because I know Dogman and some of these other things reported out there, I got to ask, you know, about the terrain, the water sources, what exactly somebody saw, you know, and your description actually is pretty cool because I don't know how many reports I've heard from people where the 5 gallon bucket thing comes into play. And it's just, it's a, something I need a person look into a little deeper because, you know, 5 gallon bucket, yeah, it's a good measurement, right? And a lot of people describe that when they see
yeah.
Sasquatch.
I just assume it's his forearms, and it's got massive forearms. You know, that was, I mean, what else could the 5-gallon buckets be?
Right.
You know, you see these big, large things swinging from side to side that go almost all the way to the ground. And then, you know, obviously it turns out it's not 5-gallon buckets, it's his arms. Like I said, you know, for the first split second, I thought it was a hunched over old man. But by the time he crossed the highway and went back down, I didn't think it was an old man anymore. And then when we came up, I expected to see old man again and say, oh, okay, for a minute there, I was thinking I saw a Bigfoot or something. But that didn't happen. There was nothing. Old man made nothing. I mean, there was no reason for anybody to be crossing there with 5-gallon buckets in the first place.
Well, that's interesting.
Let alone old man,
yeah,
let alone in the heat, two of them, like, sir, get a wheelbarrow, you know.
But the perspective,
yeah.
this whole encounter lasted a matter of seconds. I mean, you're driving along and you see it and it crosses the road and that's it. I mean, so that's, you know, and it's interesting because the process that you describes a lot of eyewitnesses, what they go through is first, we as humans try to fit what we see into something we know. And then it's like, you know, what else could it be? It wasn't an old man carrying buckets down, you know, from the forest back into the forest. But what the hell was it? So interesting report.
Yeah, I could count on one hand the times in my life, and I do, and I in paranormal investigate too. So I put myself in situations where activity is more prominent, no matter what field it's talking about, and I can still only count the times on my hand that I've had experiences I cannot explain. And I've tried to explain with logic, you know, and, you know, Occam's razor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, and this is one of them, a few that I just cannot. And I had someone next to me and same thing, just like, I don't believe we saw that. I just don't believe we saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you guys saw what you saw. I mean, but I mean, overall, I mean, you didn't have a bad experience. You just saw something cross the road. So I mean, it's really. I mean, are you an avid? Do you camp? Does your buddy camp at all? I mean, it's not changed you guys, you know, mentally or anything to keep you out of the woods, correct?
No. We're not woodsmen per se, you know, but we did grow up in the North Woods, you know. So there's plenty of time, you know, running around in the woods and stuff. We could survive in the woods better than the average person on the planet, I would think, just because of that reason. You know, we know how to hunt and fish and stuff. But as far as woodmen, like, could I do a Les Stroud, spend a week somewhere, you know, where you're eating all kinds of weirdness? I don't know. I'd like maybe God would pull me through something like that.
right.
You know, but no, yeah, I don't know Mike to be a woodsman either. Mm-hmm. You know, again, like he grew up in the North Woods. He's in Utah now, and you know, I was living in Salt Lake City. So,
well, you know what? You bring up so my mind is wheeling now because you are a paranormal investigator, and you had this possible Sasquatch sighting. And but you're fishing and hunting and everything else as your past history. I got to ask you, and it's not a question I like to ask because I'm not in my mind is somewhere else as far as Sasquatch. Is it it for me personally? It's a physical terrestrial entity. There's nothing paranormal about it, but. You know, what are your thoughts? I mean, really, what are your thoughts on what Sasquatch may be? I'm curious.
I think that there are too many people out there looking for them right now. There are too many drones. There are too many trap cameras. There's too many investigators. This wasn't like this even 20 years ago. Okay, we didn't have all this technology and stuff. And I just know that there's a lot of time and man energy going into this, and we're not getting even a photo better than the Patterson-Gimlin film.
Mm-hmm.
So I question that. I initially questioned. Plus, you got the bizarre reports, and I can go into. I think it's a little of everything, actually. But Do I think there's some kind of supernatural element? I think, you know, I think 100 years ago we would have called thermal imaging paranormal if we could have explained how it, you know, how
yeah.
heat works. You know what I'm saying? And snakes have pits. They can see thermal, right? It's not supernatural to us, but maybe to somebody, you know, 500 years ago that would, to explain the concept, it would have seemed supernatural. Maybe these creatures can go invisible for short periods of time. Or maybe they are going somewhere else. I mean, who's to say? I do believe in spirits. I believe we are a spiritual being having a human experience, opposed to a human being having a spiritual experience. I do, as a ufologist, I believe it in other races, other species, whether they are interdimensional, extraterrestrial, terrestrial. They could be from the middle of the earth or under the ocean. I mean, it's probably a little of all of it going on. I mean, the universe is such a diverse place. That as far as Bigfoot, we should. I mean, there's, like I said, let's put it this way. For a long time, I was on your side of the fence, and then for a while, I was on the fence, and now I have just recently hopped off the fence onto the paranormal side. Maybe for no other reason than I want to look into that a little more. Because I don't think that's been explored enough. We have things like SLS cameras and different things that this year we're going to be trying out in the field, in the woods. In fact, we're planning a expedition this year it's going to be a really unique experience. We'll come out with everything afterwards, of course, but there are three authors who have written about cryptozoology. Who are going to be with us, and along with a couple members of the NWPF, and we're going to just try some things that haven't been tried, or just approach it. Maybe I think we're going to approach it all different ways. We're going to try the crypto stuff, but we're going to try some, like I said, set up an SLS camera, or take the ultraviolet out there, or let's, you know, we have an amazing medium on our team who's truly got abilities and can sense out stuff. See what they pick up. I mean, I know it may sound, especially to the guys on the zoological side of things, it sounds hocus pocus, but the world is really a bizarre place, and we're learning new stuff all the time. And there's got to be a reason why that species is evading us so well. I mean,
yeah. Well, no. Let me just finish real quick because it's truly fascinating to me, this is a really actually a cool conversation for me talking with you, and because for me personally, you know, I am on the zoological, as you call it, perspective, but you know I'm not going to go out and tag anybody for their beliefs or ideas, but you kind of laid out a process for your own personal. You know, you were on here, and then you're on the fence, and then you're off the fence, and I, you know, that's I found that to be, you know, an occurrence for a lot of people, where they start out here, and then they move here, and then they move there. You sound very open-minded. I mean, you know, you just sound like a very curious guy, which is cool. That's awesome. I am very curious myself. I am very much on the zoological end. I mean, as far as I believe that we're just dealing with a creature that is rare, it is, you know, it's just rare. It's terrestrial. It's very smart. But I do lean towards like the primate aspect of its behavior. And that's one of the things that when I say in my beliefs, I look at the behavior of this thing, and to me that screams, you know, something. Undiscovered, yet terrestrial, that we can discover it. It's not outside of the realm. I don't put it into the paranormal realm, but, you know, you're kind of where you started out and transgressed. That's interesting to me. I mean, talk about that a little bit, because you know, you got a lot, and I have friends that are that believe that, you know, that way when it comes to Sasquatch. Me personally, no. I think it can be discovered. It can be proven. I think it's a tall order. But hey, I got an open ear, and you sound like an interesting guy.
Well, I don't know exactly where to start with that. There's a few different places I can start it.
Yeah. Long name. Sorry.
Yeah, because I will zigzag back and forth trying to, you know, trying to come up with different ideas and reasons and theories as to what's going on and why. I have really looked at this. I'm a skeptical believer. That's what I am. Like, I'm generally skeptical, but I do understand that truth is stranger than fiction. And I've also had a few experiences that are just, and the thing is, as a historian, I've interviewed, especially the last 10 years, I've interviewed so many people who have had unusual experiences, and you realize that everybody's got at least one time in their life where something's happened that they just can't explain. Now, as far as Bigfoot, okay, let's put it, Bigfoot to me is the most, I won't even say that. Bigfoot is interesting. It really is. Now, to me, some of the cryptids are much more parazoological than zoological. Like, for instance, the Mothman. When you talk about red glowing eyes, black figure, flying around, seen before, mayhem, you know, I got to think demonic. I got to be honest, you know. And to me, that's like, again, you're kind of crossing that realm of paranormal. You know, now, what are we talking, a fallen angel? I mean, are we talking some alien species that was left behind that the government is after? What are we talking about here? It's something abnormal. Bigfoot to me is more, it's got more of a chance of being a zoological, just plainly zoological, nothing what we would call unknown or unexplained about it. Just that it's that good at hiding. You know, I mean, because that's what it comes down to, right? It's either that good at hiding that we can't find it when it's sleeping. You know, we can't, we can't get a photograph, even the sneakiest ways we know. You know, that's tough. The other end of it is, I also find, see, and I wonder, another thing is, okay, you have, I personally, I'm a conspiracy analyst as well, and I do look into conspiracies. And I look into government cover-ups, best I can anyways. Not that I have super special secret access to, you know, anything, but I do.
Right.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there you can research that people won't even realize is out there, I guess. I know that would government cover up something like this? Sure they would. I could see that, especially if there's something supernatural going on. Even if there weren't, there'd be no reason for it. I find the missing 411 stuff interesting. I think with that, it's a little of everything, again. I think some people are getting lost. I think there could be... Maybe there's a one or two dogman abductions going on. Could be. Kids talk about it. You know, a wolf carried me off. What are you supposed to say about that? You know. But then again, you know, there could be the killer in the woods as well. It could be the irresponsible parents just not watching their child. I mean, there could be so many different things, and it's probably a little of all of it, you know.
Here's the thing. What I find fascinating about, I have seen a Sasquatch, as I believe to be, have seen a Sasquatch. What I find fascinating is the fact that you have something that acts like an animal, looks like an animal. Almost every report I take in, okay, you know, in regards to Sasquatch or Bigfoot, it acts like an animal, it looks like an animal, and when I say animal, I mean it. You know what I mean is it's doing what I would expect something to do in the woods. You know,
right.
If this thing was paranormal, I'd throw rocks, beat trees, grunt, kill deer. But no, it lives in the woods. It doesn't make any sense to me that it would be paranormal. It just doesn't make any sense.
And that's why
I
find the portal. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, go ahead.
That's
why
I find the portal theory a little harder. Like, to me, okay, if it's going in between dimensions, why is it eating food? You see what I'm saying? Why is it going after the bait? That doesn't make sense to me, to my logic. You know, could it be going invisible? That could make more sense. We know things can change vibration. We know we only see 10% of the
tonal spectrum, if it can change its vibration, that our eyes can't pick it up, maybe. Maybe it can. I mean, who's to say? I know the Bible says that if we could see the spirit world, it would drive us mad because it's so busy. Now, now is that the spirit world? Anything invisible? To me, it sure is, kind of. I mean, it's certainly paranormal, supernatural, weirdness, right? I mean, on the other hand, someone could say, you know what? We can scientifically explain invisibility. And they probably can. And to me, it's just, again, we're back to the what do we call supernatural now and what are we going to call supernatural 100 years from now?
That was a great point. That was a great point with the thermal imagery. It reminds me, when before gorillas, this great ape was, discussed, in the early 1900s, I mean, discovered, in relative terms, not too long ago. And, a lot of people thought it was, there's not this, gorillas, didn't exist. And discovered, and probably seemed, our terminology has changed over time, but I mean, probably seemed far out there, unbelievable. And then here's this thing, here it seemed more unbelievable being here in North America, in this day and age, that we can't discover, Sasquatch, a possible primate, all the theories out there, gigantic pictures, black team, blah, blah, blah. But to me, it's just not that amazing. I mean, it's if you look at the numbers, I just think it's just not that amazing. It's what I would expect from something that's of a higher intelligence. And I don't try to – I was just having this discussion the other day, Kevin, with Sneak Adele, who's an anthropologist. I mean, she's an intelligent woman. I said, here's this thing here in North America – it doesn't blow my mind that we haven't discovered it because, if it's rare, and who's to say it is a primate? Just because it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, why do we put things in the box all the time? The fossil record, fossils in general, it is so incomplete, so unbelievably incomplete that discoveries are made all the time and people's minds are blown.
We were just talking at Paraverse Universe to a guy who has done work on giants, and he's an esoteric historian. And when I say work on it, I mean work on trying to find out what's going on with the cover-up of giants and the whole giant mystery, because he said there's over 1,000 newspaper reports in America of people finding giant skeletons, but yet the Smithsonian, and the Smithsonian has reportedly collected them, but they lose them. And we're not given the full fossil record. And one of the questions was from the audience, do you think that giants are Bigfoot or that there's some correlation? And it's interesting because my personal belief, I believe in macroevolution, but I don't believe in microevolution. So,
gotcha.
Why would they even cover up giants? What's the big deal? I mean, it's mentioned within the first two pages of the Bible, right? Most biggest selling book ever of all time. Affects more people than anything. What's the big deal? Well, maybe the big deal is that what they're saying is that these giants have, if regular people outside the government get their hands and can study these giant skeletons, they find out that they're not all human, that there are human elements, or I should say terrestrial elements, but there may be unterrestrial elements about these skeletons that would totally shatter the fossil record, so to speak. Not so much shatter the fossil record, but just adds many more questions to what we have. In other words, it opens up a whole box, if giants aren't humans that were just bigger back then when everything was bigger, what's going on, And are Bigfoots involved? I mean, are some of these giant skeletons, maybe they are Bigfoot skeletons. We don't know because the government comes in and they cover it up and they take it away. And this happened so many times. So many reports on this, like you said.
Well, what's funny to me too, I'll let you continue on because it's an interesting topic, the Giants thing. It's an interesting topic. You mentioned the articles, but real quick, you know, I was talking to a witness, like I mentioned earlier in the show, and he said, "Where are the bones?" I said, "Well, you know, quite honestly, how many people go out to the woods and probably come across bones? And it's probably it's rare. It is rare. I've come across bones, but it's rare. And if you do come across bones, usually it's not a full skeleton, you know. But anyways, yeah. You know, who's an expert on and who really cares? I mean, a lot of these people come out there and they find bones and they go, it would have to be really appealing to them to either call it a human. They would have to find a skull, first of all, to really jump in on board. You know, there are certain people that will come across bone and go, oh, is it human? And they will pull it and show, you know, somebody. Most of the time you come across bones, people walk right over them. And I think, really, honestly, not many people come across Bigfoot bones, if they ever have. I'm sure it's probably happened before, and it's like, yeah, I don't know what that is. It's a bone, whatever. Most people, I don't think Sasquatch, right. You know, just dies on a public trail. I think they probably go, you know, whatever. But, you know, I mean, it's an interesting point, you know, the giant stuff. No, continue on. The giant stuff's interesting. I mean, there is a lot of reports.
I'm not saying Bigfoots are giants. I'm not saying Bigfoots are giants.
I got you.
It is interesting stuff, yeah. and who knows? I don't know all the answers. But I do know that you're right. There's articles, and we don't have bones. Well, that's because they're covering up the bones, not letting us have access to it. They have hangers full of this stuff, you know? They're called classified files and boxes and documents and there's so much stuff that we're not allowed to see or notice.
Let me ask you this real quick, Kevin. And I'm not in necessarily disagreement with you. I'm just going to throw this at you. It would have to be, you know, when it comes to the Giants, and like you said, you're not seeing Giants or Bigfoot, blah, blah, blah. And then I get that. But there wouldn't have to be such a conspiracy because if I'll be honest with you, if I came across a Bigfoot body out in the woods or bones that I thought were possibly Sasquatch, I'm going to be very careful about it. I just am. And not that I believe in conspiracy. I'm just going to be very careful about it. I'm going to be careful who I approach, who I show it to, but I'm going to make it a fast process. It would have to be such a conspiracy, you know, with the giant thing, you know, that, you know, if it's tossed in with Bigfoot or not, you know, you're talking about North America, Canada, and other places. I mean, you know,
everyone.
You bring up some fascinating stuff, and it's a topic a lot of people talk about. It's something comes across my table all the time. But I mean, what are your thoughts on it? I mean,
when you say we don't have skeletons of Bigfoot, I got two things. One is that if they're intelligent, they're probably burying their dead. And the other is that if the government's willing to go out and cover up skeletons that are thousands of years old, okay, why wouldn't they come out and cover up something that's recent that would be just as anomalous or weird or unnormal? You know, and I think they know something about they probably do know what Bigfoot is, you know, and I think that whatever it is, they don't want everyone else to know all the details on it, so it's better just to keep the whole thing covered up. And I know people say, well, it would also affect the forestry industries if they came out with that stuff. And you're right, it would, because then, you know, people would be like, hey, these are endangered species or whatever. And then, of course, the forestry stops, the logging stops, everything comes to a screaming halt. It would affect jobs. It would affect the economy. It would affect, you know, yeah, there's all that too. And there's a lot of reasons.
Yes and no.
For the government.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there is definitely some truth there and some stuff that is very speculative and obviously could or could not happen. I work with a group called the Olympic Project. Gunnar Monson is also part of the Olympic Project. And we are currently working with the BLM and a couple of timber companies on a possible Bigfoot-related bedding nesting area. And so we have that collaboration. We have that I'm not disagreeing with if Bigfoot's a separate.
No, that's
what
good.
That
and
would
I'm
do.
Glad. That's good news. That's good news, I think, that you got larger – because to me, big conglomerate is the same – it kind of falls in the same boat. I mean –
yeah.
Any not that they're, I don't know how big the companies you are talking about, but I'll say that the bigger the company, the more likely they have government contracts, or government ties, or government interests, or just secret society affiliations, whatever the case may be. But if, you know,
no, it's a fascinating,
then again, there's
it's
an
a
awakening
fascinating
going
topic.
On.
Right.
It is.
No,
it
fascinating
really is.
Topic. And you know, your thoughts, and I mean, trust me, I'm talking to you now. I've talked to many people that have the same insight or thoughts as you, and so it's been actually kind of a fun and insightful conversation tonight, and I enjoyed it. You know, I'll be honest with you, not our usual show. We're very much Monster X Radio is really not a paranormal show, even though Sasquatch is considered to be paranormal from some, but very fascinating conversation with that, Kevin. And you know, what's down your road? What's in your future? You know, one of the things I find fascinating is that even though you had this possible Sasquatch sighting with your friend, you know, for me personally, I had an encounter. I was kind of a researcher beforehand, and I had a sighting pulled me into the subject. But for you, you know, you're a little bit more across the board. I mean, you got a lot broader sight in investigation of stuff. What's the future hold for you and what you're going to be doing?
Well, I guess I look at it as the unknown and unexplained. Like I said, we cover 8 different categories, anything involved within these categories, of course, we're involved with. As far as coming up, we always have cases we're working on at the Northern Wisconsin Paranormal Society, here at the Northwest Paranormal Resource Center. I know we're going to be in Farrar at the Farrar Haunted School in July. I'll be giving a lecture on pareidolia, something else that I know you guys know well, that you guys have to deal with
fantastic.
More of the time. Yeah, you know, again, like, we see pareidolia all the time. And I know it's rampant in the Bigfoot, too, you know.
Rampant.
So I'll be doing a lecture on that. Otherwise, then we're going to be at the Ghost Con, I know, in October. That's something we got scheduled out. Otherwise, just we'll continue with our radio show every Friday night on Inception Radio Network. It's Paraversal Universe. And that also covers 8 categories. And if you're wondering about them categories, that's ghosts and haunted places, cryptozoology, aliens and UFOs, metaphysics, theology, conspiracies, forbidden archaeology, and urban legends. And so we cover them. And we'll continue writing articles for Supernatural Magazine. And I know I'm going to forget. If anyone does, I know this is not, I know you guys are more zoological than
para-cryptozoological,
but there is a para-cryptozoology-like page that myself and a couple other respectable folks are adminning with. You're welcome to check out on Facebook as well. And let's see. And Lake Monstrosities, which is a group we have, Facebook group. It's the largest Facebook group for aquatic mysteries, including lake monsters and aquatic cryptozoology. So check that out as well. Otherwise, I think that's basically what we're talking
about. Yeah, no, fantastic, Kevin. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show, and I hope to have you back on the show down the road if indeed you have any anybody reach out to you with encounters or reports, your own insight and thoughts and whatnot. It's been a real pleasure having you on the show. You've been very interesting, and I appreciate that. And I do believe personally that you saw something and maybe a possible Sasquatch up there in Wisconsin along with your friend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. And maybe sometime we can bring you on our show. Like I said, we do cover the paracryptozoology, but we also respect regular cryptozoology and the zoology, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice just to talk about that, too, you know, because that's all part of it. I could be wrong, you know, you never can tell.
And that's what I appreciate, Kevin, is that the fact that it's not your way or the highway. So I appreciate that. And I would love to join you guys sometime, or I'm sure Gunner would love to join you as well. And so, contact us and whatnot, and we'll love to join you. But it's been a pleasure having you on the show, man, and we'll talk to you again hopefully soon.
Thank you, and thank you.
All right. Well, from all of us here at Monstrex Radio, everybody in chat, for those of you across the world, appreciate everybody joining us here on Monstrex Radio. We will be again back here, same bat time, same bat station. So everybody have a great Sunday evening, and we will talk to you later. Thank you all.
There's something outside.
What is that?
Radio.